Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm enjoying a day with no practice, boys.
Hey.
How about you?
Hey. Big day here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. No question.
It is a good chance to take a breath here because it's going to be busy the next couple days.
There's no question about that. And we ruined your nice bliss by making you come on the show with us.
Oh, no. That is, this is my joy.
This is even more blissful.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
So, David, obviously Tampa coming to town this week and the two practices of pretty high interest. What's the number one thing you're looking for as Tampa comes in for these two practices?
You know, I think the passing defense, really, when you look at that group of wide receivers that Tampa Bay has now, Tom Brady's not going to be throwing the ball, which is going to be disappointing. But I remember back in 2019 when Tampa came in here and Logan Ryan had a rough time with Mike Evans, particularly on the first day, and you kind of came out of that like going, I don't know, is Logan Ryan, you know, like, are his best days behind him in this league? Is it time for him to hang him up or whatnot? And Ryan ended up having a terrific 2019 season. So, you know, whether it was, whether that was just kind of a bad day or two for him or if those workouts showed him something and taught him something that he needed to address going into that season, I don't know for certain, but I think it was pretty telling. And, you know, when you're looking at Caleb Farley and all he still has to learn on the job, and you look at the fact that Christian Fulton has not been as good, I guess, as in this training camp as he was last year at this time, and you know, there could be any number of reasons for that, but just, you know, the work those guys are going to get, I think is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I'm also we were talking earlier, David, about the offensive linemen and guys like Akeem Hicks and Vita Vea and Golston, and, you know, not to mention their outside backers and some of the looks that they'll get. I imagine we'll get a decent feel or a better feel for some of those guys. By the way, where do you think we are in terms of figuring out right tackle? Do you have a strong feeling on Raiden's versus Petit Frere?
I think Raiden's is still the guy, but I don't think Raiden's has convinced anybody in that building that he's the guy. It seems like they're taking more and more of a look at Petit Frere as we go. I mean, the early part of camp, it was, you know, these are the five guys. They were sort of together every day. That hasn't been the case for the last 2 weeks. When I watch Petit Frere, he looks to me like a guy who probably got away with being a better athlete than the guy opposite him most of his life to this point. And so he needs to, you know, he still needs some technique work. It's not like he steps in there and they go, oh no, there it is, that's the guy. I mean, they're still trying to figure out which one it is, and for now it's Raiden's, but he's got to convince them that he can do more than he has done to this point. I guess the other question at left guard, of course, Aaron Brewer. I think that's a done deal. And to your point, Joe, and some of the guys that the Buccaneers have there, you know, we've heard how tough he is, how competitive he is on every snap. This is a chance to get a look at that up close and see exactly what he does to compensate for the fact that he's one of the probably the smaller offensive linemen in the league.
David, do you think that the Titans have five receiver spots locked up at this point with Burks, Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and then you've got Kyle Phillips and Racy McMath with a big camp as well? Would you consider all five of those guys locks? How do you view the battle in the receiving room right now?
Yeah, I would, and with Racy, it's still his special teams play that I think makes him a lock. If you're talking just wide receivers, Racy is certainly in that spot, but I don't know that you would say that he's a lock. But when you factor in that that he is one of their primary gunners, and you know the, what we saw in the kickoff return the other night in Baltimore, a 30-yard kickoff return, where I think that that opened some people's eyes. Plus, he had two tackles on special teams that night. I mean, he's just a guy that that you need to have on this roster right now. And the big 48-yard reception against the Ravens, I asked Todd Downing about that, and he said, you know, the big thing is, you know, because clearly he was running wide open, it was a blown coverage, but he said, you know, Racy went at the defense with speed and put pressure on them, and that, you know, that kind of size, that kind of speed, we know this team loves that, and when he can find ways to put it to good use like he's doing right now, I don't think there's any way he's not on this roster come September 11th.
Is there a six, and who would it be?
That's a great question, and you know that kind of depends on other position groups, right? Like that could be one of those things that comes down to whether or not they keep three quarterbacks or not. And if they do keep a sixth, I still think they want to give Dez Fitzpatrick that chance. They're not ready to give up on him, but he's clearly, you know, he clearly has not been, is not yet what they wanted when they traded up 17 spots to get him in the fourth round of last year's draft. But I still think if they get to keep a sixth, that he is the one to whom they'd give the benefit of the doubt there.
David Beauclair from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, David, what did you make of Malik Willis and his performance against Baltimore? And what do you think the next step is for him in his maturation process here?
You know, it was fascinating, wasn't it? Because the highlights were terrific. You know, a guy who comes out of that game with his head coach sort of banging on him about a number of things, but you could easily put together a highlight package with the 48-yard throw, the 7-yard touchdown run, the 17-yard scramble. I liked the fact that when he scrambled too, he was willing to sort of step out of bounds. Like he wasn't a guy out there looking like he was trying to prove anything to anybody. He was just playing. But I most of the throws that he completed were right at or near the line of scrimmage. You know, when it came time to read the defense and put the ball in a hole in a zone or wherever it was down the field, he didn't or couldn't do it. You know, the first throw of the game was a disaster. It should have been a pick six. So, I mean, I've said it, I'm sure, to you guys. You know, coaches still talk about the fact that they're so excited that he can get the play call from the sideline and run the huddle correctly and whatnot. You know, I mean, that's how far he has to go in his development. So, you know, he has to learn to get on, you know, take his three-step drop, his five-step drop, whatever it is, make the quick decision, trust the route combination and trust what his eyes tell him and get the ball out. That's, you know, that's what coaches want to see. And, you know, a lot of people are making a big deal out of this, you know, competition between he and Logan Woodside and who's going to be the number two. And, you know, quarterback is different than any other position in that regard, in that, you know, Malik Willis will be the number two quarterback when coaches decide he can do enough of the things they want. Whether he can do them better than Logan Woodside or not won't matter. It'll be when they decide, okay, he can do the sorts of things that'll get us to the end of a game if something happens to Ryan Tannehill and still give us a chance to win. Then that's when he's gonna get that spot. So we'll see. I will say, quarterback's coach Pat O'Hara yesterday kind of went out of his way to point out that Logan Woodside had 7 third down pass attempts in that game Thursday night, and 5 of them resulted in first downs. And he talked about how efficient and, you know, that was and what an understanding that showed. So I think, I think Malik Willis still has a way to go before he gets that spot. But that's kind of the area that he has to get to, where he can run the passing offense that effectively.
Yeah. Woodside has a couple really bad passes, bad decisions, or, you know, maybe he doesn't get some help on at least one of those, but, you know, makes a couple bad plays. People already want Willis to be in there for him. Like you said, you got a handful of plays that are like, ooh, with Malik Willis. and it becomes just an overblown discussion when I think it sounds like you agree that it's still a long shot. I mean, Logan Woodside is almost certainly going to be the two to start the season, and then the process will continue.
Yeah, I mean, it could be one of those cases, too, where, you know, on game day, Tannehill and Willis are your quarterbacks, right? And there's, you know, maybe they've got a couple packages and some things they want to do with Malik Willis. I remember in what was it, 2018, whenever Lamar Jackson was a rookie, you know, the Ravens came in here and beat the tar out of the Titans 21-0 that day, and Ravens put Lamar Jackson on the field for one play, and it was a 22-yard run that set up a touchdown in that, you know, in that game. And you know, those are the kind of things the Titans can do with Willis right now, I would think. And then, but then if something does happen to Tannehill and he's going to miss 3 or 4 weeks, then all of a sudden Logan Woodside is your starter, and Willis keeps doing the same thing going forward. I think that's a possibility based on the opponents and what the game plan would be that week. But yeah, right now the pecking order has not changed, but I do think we're going to see a lot more of Malik Willis too. I think, you know, kind of what I talked about, the coaches are going to give him every opportunity to learn and try and speed that up. And, you know, we might still see a preseason game here in one of these last two where Malik Willis plays start to finish.
David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great stuff as always. Enjoy the rest of the day and back at it tomorrow with practice.
All right, boys. Everybody have a good day. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. David Beauclair, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll get Joe's thoughts from Titans practice yesterday as well as they head into the rest of this week against Tampa Bay. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Join 102.5 the game at the 9th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive tomorrow from noon to 2. I will be there as well, so you can join me there as well. The Red Cross is in an urgent need of blood. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. So join us, Brentwood Fire and Police, the Williamson County Sheriff's Office, and the Fraternal Order of Police for the 9th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive tomorrow, going on until 6 p.m. at the Brentwood Concord Road Library. Looking forward to seeing everybody out. I'll be there from noon to 2 tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, sounds like pretty good day for the Titans defense yesterday at practice. What did you see, and I guess what do you think that means of such a, I don't know, would you call it dominant day for the defense against the offense yesterday?
A winning day for sure. You know, winning day. Some pass breakups for a bunch of guys. I mean, Farley had a couple. I mean, there were quite a few guys who had pass breakups out there. Chance Campbell, he really had a couple chances to intercept passes, including one from Willis. Willis had a stretch. I was on the other side of the field of most of the media when Willis had this little swing pass to, I forget which running back, but like, I mean, he missed him by like 5 feet, or maybe 5 yards. I don't know. He missed him by a ton. I think my angle was like, wow, he missed him by a ton. Yeah, it's one bad pass. But the very next play, break the pocket, nothing immediately, start rolling right. He's got a receiver, leading his corner, but like you could just totally see it come. Or actually, I think that was Campbell. And it may have been a tight end, but anyway, he if you throw that pass, you are throwing a pick. And he floated it out there, and Chance Campbell just stepped right in front, didn't catch it. But, you know, that was like – it was a pretty rough day, I'd say, for Malik, for example, overall. We talked earlier about McMath, you know, not building on what he's been doing. Now, one thing to remember with McMath, the opportunities for him – continue to speak to what I think is happening, which is like he's embedding himself as someone they're starting to think like we got to do some stuff with this guy this year. Now, you know, he's got to have better days than yesterday. Run things correctly, go get those 50-50 balls, things like that. But it still was a day that spoke to what he's done overall. And yeah, I think Fulton has needed some good days Farley has had his ups and downs. Overall, it's been very positive considering what it could have been with Farley, right? I mean, even knowing if he's going to play. You know, you've talked about Hooker as a breakout player. Hooker's also been banged up and missed some time here and there. That's something to keep in mind. And when they have all those guys together, I think ultimately if you took this top receiving group, the top guys, and you took this secondary and you said, okay, you're just going to play, you know, in team, man-to-man, and let's see what happens. Now, obviously, in an individual drill, it's always advantage receiver. And even in 7-on-7, you know, especially when the quarterback takes another second after that, like you're gonna have open people, right?
Right.
But in team situations where there's urgency and there's actually some interference in front of a quarterback, I would bet on this secondary against this receiving core. And I think maybe you kind of saw that yesterday. It's always the question of, okay, so is this more positive for the DBs or is this a little bit of exposure for these receivers?
So I think what you hope for if you're a Titans fan is that maybe there's some back and forth. And we talk about that all the time in training camp practices. I will say, we talked about this yesterday. I do feel better about the wide receiver group thus far in the camp than I did heading into camp. But do you feel like maybe they're starting to hit a wall a little bit against this defense? We talked about that specifically with Burks yesterday, but what about as a whole? Or is this just a one-day thing yesterday and we'll just have to see how it goes against Tampa?
That's a great question. I think with Burks maybe, you know, a little bit. He had so much momentum. He had so much to prove to early. Everybody wanted to see him do well, and he did. And, again, it's not like he's – just disappeared or fallen off the map. It just hasn't been as emphatic, you know, for him. So I think that seems maybe like a little bit of a wall. I don't know. It's hard to I don't know with the other guys. Again, I still think Kyle Phillips. We're just 2 days removed from Kyle Phillips, you know, tearing everybody up. Yep. So I mean, I think you definitely do want, if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, you want these DBs to have some days where they're like, okay. You know, let's lock this down a little bit. And obviously, if you put this actual offense against this actual defense and you were playing football and you're tackling people and you can rush and tackle a quarterback, I mean, I'd bet on this defense still too.
Do you think the Titans have found both their punt returner and their kick returner? Do you think that – and we'll start with punt returner because it feels like Kyle Phillips is going to be that for them.
Yes.
What about kick return? Because we talked about this a little bit, I think, yesterday, with Racing McMath showing what he can do there a little bit. Honestly, if I had my druthers and if I'm making the decision, if it's a guy like Trenton Cannon, I'm not keeping him just for the kick return. Like, if Racing McMath can do the kick return and you feel okay about it, I'm not wasting another roster spot on a guy just for a kick return.
I agree. There's so many kicks that aren't returned anyway, and – to me, you only do that if you feel like Trenton Cannon is just a special weapon in that way. He's had some good stretches. He had a really good season with the Panthers doing that. But that, along with Cannon, would have to be, wow, this guy makes every unit better in different roles on special teams. So I think McMath could be pretty good. You saw it in that game against the Ravens. My guess would be McMath is the kick returner, and then you can use that roster spot on something else rather than keep five running backs. Like, that's what it would be.
Well, and this to me, a lot of this goes back to the three quarterback part of this. If you're going to keep three quarterbacks, it's going to end up – it's going to cost you somewhere else. So I think you've got to be really judicious if you're Vrabel and Robinson this year of trying to identify exactly where that's going to come from, because – you feel great about your defense. I think there's, you know, obviously the four outside linebackers we talked about earlier. The linebacking core, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But where exactly is that spot going to be that is maybe a little light if you're keeping three quarterbacks? That's something that as we continue to progress through camp here and some of the battles themselves in terms of, you know, starters and even depth at certain positions, they start to get locked up a little bit more. What are you sacrificing if you're keeping three quarterbacks? I think is going to be a pretty intriguing storyline as we continue to go here.
Yeah. I went to camp with a heavy offensive lineup, sort of the idea of, you know, you're not sure about how good some of your options are, so keep more and keep, like, streamline things defensively, but I don't know. The defensive line, there are a lot of guys who are making a case to make this football team. And like a guy like Laurell Murchison, I think, is in real danger of not making it. And some other guys seem to have passed him, for example. But, you know, DeMarcus Walker, guys like that. I mean, Deshaun Hand, there's a lot of possibilities. Offensive line, how many of these backups, like how much depth do they feel like they need? I went in projecting 8 guys with some guys like Jamarco Jones who could play inside or outside, but maybe they want to keep more guys than that. They're going to have to sacrifice somewhere.
Caleb on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, how do we compare Burks' training camp to Corey Davis' first training camp?
Did Davis even participate in his first training camp?
One, Burks has been on the field. So
yeah,
I think Davis was light at best in training camp. I don't remember the whole thing, but he was definitely dealing with it. It was hamstring, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he had the broken foot, which healed, but then pretty quickly I think the hamstring became a thing. So as I recall Corey Davis's first year, there wasn't much of him at all in camp. So this is certainly better than that. There's no doubt about it. And look, I think Treylon Burks, you didn't know it at the time, because at the time there was hope that Corey Davis is going to be a guy who could play up to that draft status. But I feel pretty confident saying Treylon Burks has more upside as a big play guy than Corey Davis.
Now, one thing we talked about a lot during the spring was the Tannehill to Hooper connection, and that was a big story throughout the minicamp, into the offseason program, and now heading into training camp. Has Hooper looked the same to you? Has the connection been what you thought it would be so far during camp? What have you made of what Austin Hooper's brought to the table?
Yeah, especially in the red zone, they've had some really good moments where, you know, you're going against the ones, going against Hooker and Byard and guys like that, and still finding a seam and completing a pass in a tight window, Tannehill to Hooper. So, yeah, I definitely think Hooper in the red zone will be a major player this year for the Titans. It's not like it's been, you know, just dominant all day long, just Tannehill to Hooper left, right, but I think he's absolutely going to be a productive, good player for them this year. Chig is the bigger, to me, real interesting question of – because he's a very intriguing talent. Young, rookie, got a long way to go and all that stuff, but I feel like they want to find things for him, and I think they're going to have some things installed for him too.
Coming up next, we'll take a look around the NFL. Who are some teams that we think could surprise this season in the NFL? We'll get to that coming up next. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. Right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Well, you know, we got 30 million. Guys, it's National Wellness Month, and men, we are terrible about our health and wellness sometimes, especially when it comes to ED. 71% of you are not receiving treatments, but we do understand why. For about 30 years, the traditional methods have been pills, needles, surgery, all coming with their own set of recovery times and side effects. Well, the future is here, guys, and we have a technology, not a pill, to treat the root cause of ED, and get this, it's pain-free, recovery time-free, and completely non-invasive, and guys are loving it. It's called acoustic wave therapy, gentlemen. It's just a little machine that sits right on the skin. Gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, helping them to expand to allow for more blood flow, but oftentimes repairing themselves. We treat the root cause of ED, and we help you get rid of the dependency on the pill.
And Miles, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
Yeah, you got to call in right now, guys. I'll even sweeten the deal for you. If you give us a call now, your exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound are all free of charge. Plus, we'll give you an additional gift that provides powerful results in the bedroom. Guys, love it. But if you're listening right now, call us or log on to our website, make an appointment. Because if we treat you and you for some reason see your results start to fade over time, come back in. We will retreat you for free. They're called tune-up treatments.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Our Titans training camp coverage presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Looking forward to Titans and Bucks this week over at St. Thomas Sports Park. And then the game coming up on Saturday as well, which Joe Rex Road was talking all break about how much he's looking forward to this preseason game coming up on Saturday night.
It's gonna be amazing. By the way, got here's some information on we're talking about Burke's preseason production and preseason compared to Corey Davis. And this is just games. So again, Burke's just in practice way more than Davis, but Davis didn't have a snap in the preseason games in 2017.
Yep.
And you know, keep in mind that was Mike Mularkey. Mike Mularkey definitely played guys. He was more of
a little bit of a different philosophy.
Yeah. And the NFL was even 5 years ago, but he played guys a fair amount in preseason games. He believed in like the third game, dress rehearsal, all that stuff. So he was banged up. AJ Brown's rookie preseason didn't play in the first or fourth game. No catches in the second game, had a catch for 10 yards in the third game. So
you've got to look back at what the expectations were and quite frankly the fears were heading into camp. I still, even though maybe it's slowed down a little bit, I think you ought to be pretty encouraged by Treylon Burks thus far. Like it's going to be a process.
I totally agree. Yeah, no, it is. Again, it's like every single day he's not out there dominating, and again, he hasn't done he has a certain combination of skills and traits that are like different, you know, and so you tap into those, and I think he could be a really good player in the NFL at some point, but he hasn't done anything right now to say get out of the way NWI, you know, sorry Bobby Trees, this is my offense, but would you have expected that? I mean, I think that's being unrealistic. So overall, I would absolutely say it's been a positive camp for him.
So as you look around the league right now, who are some teams that jump out to you that you think could be a surprise this year? We heard Corey Curtis say yesterday that maybe he's a little high on the Detroit Lions. I think he said that they could flirt with like 9 wins and maybe get in the playoffs.
He said 9
in the
or
NFC.
10.
Yeah.
What is –
look, Jared Goff, which is Jared Stillman pointed out earlier, apparently is better than Ryan Tannehill. Dan Campbell getting people fired up on the Hard Knocks.
I mean,
play in an awful division.
So could they be a surprise team in terms of most people just expect them automatically to go 4-13?
Hey, I'm trying to talk myself into 8 or 9 wins for Detroit.
Yeah, that's a tough sell for me. I will mention the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm.
They have a pretty good receiver. You may have heard of him.
Devontae
Smith. To go with another good receiver. And I'm keeping an open mind. You know, these Alabama quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Tua. I thought Tua was way better than Jalen Hurts. That's why he took his job in college. But that's another team for me who it's like, what is the quarterback? Is there going to be a huge step there? Some pretty good talent on defense and really like the pass catchers. So both of those teams, one in each league with the Alabama quarterbacks, intrigue me as possible answers to this question.
There's a team that I've been really high on all offseason that I don't know that I would call them a Super Bowl contender. Matter of fact, I know that I wouldn't call them a Super Bowl contender. But I think they're going to be pretty good this year, and that is the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I was about to say them.
I think they're going to be pretty good. And obviously, Jameis has to stay healthy. And I think there's limitations of how good you can be when Jameis is your quarterback. He was pretty darn good last year before he got hurt, though. They were 5-2. They destroyed Green Bay the first week. Their defense is really good, and there's, you know, I know they don't have Sean Payton anymore, but Dennis Allen has been there. They've got some really good pieces on the defensive side of the ball. And all of a sudden, you look at their wide receiver core, and a lot of this is going to depend on Michael Thomas and whether or not he can get healthy and stay healthy. But they drafted Chris Olave. They've got Jarvis Landry. We'll see what happens with Alvin Kamara and his legal situation and all that stuff.
But I think they've got a chance to be pretty good. And in a conference where it's nowhere near as strong as the AFC, I think the Saints, if they stay healthy, are for sure going to be a playoff team. They're not probably not going to win the division because I'd still give that to Tampa Bay. But I think New Orleans has a chance to be pretty good this year.
No, I like that call. If you look at that conference, I mean, I'm going Cowboys, Packers, Bucks.
Rams.
Yeah, Rams. And the Niners are – that's the thing. So here's another possibility because I think a lot of people are just down on them. And, I mean, the jokes are the jokes, and they're gonna keep flowing. And we get to those next week again too. But I think the Cardinals – I mean, like, I think they're just being dismissed as a playoff team. And it's certainly this could be just a fantastic meltdown given all that's gone on with Kyler Murray and everything. But, like, they might be decent. And what if the Niners – like, I just don't know with Trey Lance. Could the Cardinals be better than the Niners this year? I don't think anybody would pick that. But, you know, the Cardinals are – I still think they're worth checking out. By the way, did you see the Jimmy G thing?
No.
Oh, the one where apparently
– you're the one who sent that?
Oh, the one where apparently he just stopped talking to people after he got his contract?
That's amazing.
Diva.
Just got his money and then like, said, you know what? Not going to talk to anybody in this organization ever again.
And I mean, it sounds like, and I would think, like there's a great example of why this has come about that way. If somebody did, like, imagine that happening here. Like, imagine, you know, Ryan Tannehill got that contract, you know, and then it's like,
just Vrabel can't get a hold of
Vrabel him. Can't get him on the phone. None of the coaches, Pat O'Hara, none of the dude, Vrabel would, like, like, they would cut him. They just, you know what? Give me $57 million in dead money. You're don't out. Care. I don't give
well,
a
I
crap.
Think it was after they drafted Trey Lance, too.
Okay. Still.
Well, yeah. So yeah. I guess that probably is part of it, I guess. Is that part of it? He's mad about that? Either way, you got paid, and do you want this job? And, by the way, although he wasn't great in the playoffs last year, he did do some things to lead them to within, you know, pretty not far from the bowl.
Beat the Packers.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yes. He's trying to throw picks all day to the Packers, but still, that's incredible. That's a situation, like, honestly, I kind of need that to happen at some point, you know, with Vrabel, just to see his reaction. I mean, like, what? That's crazy. Now, I guess some people would say, well, see, A.J. Brown happened. A.J. Brown requested trade, not returning calls, supposedly. You know, so I guess you saw what happened, even though Vrabel didn't look exactly geeked about it on that night.
Some people are starting to throw around the Jags as a surprise team. And this goes back to, like, what is a surprise? Because, like, look, I think there's a decent chance they could double their win total this year. Does that count as a surprise if they get to six wins?
I think this has to be – you have to be at, like, reasonably –
competitive.
Yeah, able to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think the Jaguars actually will not be total cheeks, and they'll probably get some upsets, but I can't buy them. I can't buy the Texans or Jags as any kind of playoff team. What about the Steelers?
I mean, they're interesting to me.
I mean, the Steelers, I've got them fourth. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I guess I've got the Ravens and Bengals easily as your top two right now, and the Browns are kind of in limbo with a good roster and a quarterback question. The Steelers, I think most people, well, especially if Watson were to play, be easily the pick for fourth in that division, and most people aren't picking them to go to the playoffs, but I still like...
It's Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
They do have... I mean, look, I think you can't convince me that Najee Harris is not a good player. And I think his offensive line sucked last year.
Yep.
And he still put up decent numbers.
He did, and I think he's one of those, well, like, breakout players in the NFL potentially could be Najee Harris. You gotta have balance and good quarterback play, though.
I think he's but let's be honest here. The ghost of Ben Roethlisberger that was playing quarterback for them last year, I know it's Mitch Trubisky right now, and it could end up being Kenny Pickett at some point. Like, this is a serious question. Are they gonna be that much worse than Ben was last year?
No.
I don't think it's gonna be that much worse. I'm not saying Ben was just totally awful last year because he played, you know, he's a smart guy. He had some big games. But he couldn't throw the ball like 11 yards down the field.
Yeah. He had like that late game crazy comeback at Minnesota where they almost came back to win, you know, and he had his moments where he looked like Ben Roethlisberger, but too often he didn't. So I agree. I think eventually, you know, like next year with Pickett, you probably have a chance to definitely be better at that position. But the problem is I don't trust Trubisky at all, and Pickett's a rookie.
By the way, I said this the day after it happened on this show, and it's starting to be confirmed before my very eyes. But the Steelers got a steal with George Pickens in the second round.
Yes.
My God. The guy made an unbelievable catch the other day, and he's just drilling people. Apparently, he's just torching people left and right in Steelers training camp. The guy's going to be really good.
Yeah. No, and a lot of people said that going in, and there were questions.
There's always somebody.
Yeah. You know, he looks like the real deal.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Who is your surprise team that you're eyeballing this year in the NFL heading into this season? We'll continue that conversation next. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Old School Pizza in Brentwood. Old School Pizza was voted #3 best new restaurant in Nashville and offers pizza and other Italian specialties. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $30 gift card for only $15 to Old School Pizza while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We'll have Kyle Tucker from The Athletic coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Inter-Athletic Department Civil War taking place between John Calipari and Mark Stoops.
Relax.
Which, according to Mitch Barnhart, is Kyle Tucker's fault.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, media just trying to make stuff up.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Coming up at 9 o'clock.
It's all about the media.
Mitch Barnhart did say, you know, he provides a lot of support for these teams. And as he pointed out, coaches change all the time in today's world of sports. So
no one's getting fired.
Maybe
Let's relax.
Yeah, he's just going to can both of them.
Paul Feinbaum says Kentucky doesn't need Cal anymore.
Yeah,
I agree. And also, that it's not a basketball school.
I see. That's I don't agree with the second part of that, but I said it yesterday. If you force me to pick, you can find somebody to coach Kentucky basketball.
I think we all said that though.
Yeah,
which is a little scary.
You can find people who don't succeed with the program, though.
You can.
It is possible. Yeah. But yes, there are other options. So Cal, I want to do, after we talk to Kyle, we'll get to it, but the question of at your school, which coach are you keeping and which are you letting go?
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
We'll get to that coming up at 9:15. Right now, taking your thoughts on the NFL. Who's your surprise team in the NFL this season? 615-737-1025. Bobby on the text line saying the Eagles, his surprise team this year. Got another text that says, I expect the Raiders to compete for the AFC Championship. Strong at every position group. Derek Carr peaking. Raiders got a good offense. I'll give them that on paper. And
they do.
They got some guys on defense too.
I like Carr.
Josh McDaniel coming in.
That's the thing. You know, it's going to be really interesting with him. It seems to me that he's learned from all the things he did terribly in the past as a head coach or as an almost head coach you bailed and all these things. But I still have to wonder if Josh McDaniels is the answer there. I like Carr. I like your guy there, your buddy. Who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Waller. They are Renfro. Interesting. Yeah, no, they're an interesting team. That division is absurd. Potentially absurd.
So let's get to that. So I see a lot of people out there still picking the Chiefs to win the division. If I had to break it down, I'd say the Chiefs are by far the most popular pick I've seen to win the AFC West. I don't know if I buy that. Like, I think I'm going Chargers. I think this is the Chargers' year that they win that division. So you've got the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be good. I still think the Chiefs are going to be really good. But I think this is the Chargers' year to win the division. I think everybody was a year early on the Chargers hype, and I think this is going to be the year they put it together.
I'm kind of with you. They've got just about everything you need. I mean, it comes down to Herbert taking another step, And then, you know, the head coach just chilling out a little bit on your analytics. You know, just use a little common sense as you coach football.
I mean, if you could hand pick a spot for Butch Jones to enter the NFL, it would be on his staff.
Wow. Well, Butch Imagine Jones loves charts. The chart. He's got his charts.
Good
man.
Gracious.
I think Butch Jones would be
fourth and one from the half inch line. Just line up in the shotgun.
Yeah, four wide.
Tell Jalen Hurts, sit this one out. Don't need the 235 pound running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Wow. He run out there and go grab the tee off the field after the kickoff, do all kinds of stuff. But I'm with you. I think the Chargers are that would be my pick. The Chiefs.
Do they count as a surprise? Like, does anybody in the AFC West count as a surprise team, though?
I think the Broncos are, to me, very polarizing. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, pump the brakes. They've been pretty good, and yes, Russell Wilson, but, you know, there's some weird stuff with Russell Wilson. You know, was that another thing Michelle sent us? That you keep sending us stuff that's interesting.
Let's ride.
Well, it was the whole, like, it's not player coach. We are partner. It's a partnership, but which is whatever. But yeah. I don't know. I don't think anybody's picking the Broncos to win the division.
Broncos country.
Yeah.
Let's ride.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some. I mean,
they should never be allowed to make the playoffs just for that video.
But some people are like, wow, would that. Now you add Russ to that. But yeah, I think they're a contender for a wild card spot. They're not an easy out anymore. They're certainly going to win some games, but I still think that it's the other three are a cut above them for sure. The Chiefs, Tyreek Hill is, and this is where I look at the Dolphins. Man, how much of – I mean, Patrick Mahomes is tremendous. Travis Kelce's tremendous. But, like, I don't love Juju Smith-Schuster. I just don't know that it's going to work out that great.
They drafted Sky Moore.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill just made them impossible to deal with, you know. Now, is he going to do that for the Dolphins? I don't know. He doesn't have Patrick Mahomes throwing to him, but, boy, I got to think Patrick Mahomes is going to miss the heck out of Tyreek Hill.
I mean, I agree, and, like, I see the power rankings that they put out. NFL.com put theirs out the other day, and they've got the Packers at 6 and the Chiefs at 7. I'm just like, I get it. They've got Mahomes and Rodgers. Everybody keeps talking about the Packers being a Super Bowl contender. I'm like, they don't have anybody to catch the ball. Their best receiver is Alan Lazard. He's a number 3 wide receiver in the NFL. I know that they've got Aaron Rodgers. They've got a great defense.
The Chiefs have their running backs.
Yeah. The Chiefs have Mahomes. They've still got Kelce. Both those teams are going to be good. Don't get me wrong. But are they – like, you can't tell me the Chiefs are as good now as they were a year ago. You can't tell me the Packers are as good now as they were a year ago.
Well, but I think the big difference between those two is that the Chiefs are in a conference that's crazy. And
correct.
I still look at the Packers like
– they're going to win their division.
Yeah, they're going to win their division. And I could still make a case for them being better than the Cowboys. You know, the Rams, I think, are going to be really good. You got the concern about Stafford's elbow. We're going to see the Bucs this week. They may be great. If all those receivers get back healthy, that might be the favorite. But – you're still like, I can't put anybody else ahead of the Packers. I mean, the Niners, I don't know with Trey Lance.
People are buying into Trey Lance, man.
And he makes some plays.
He does.
That are tremendous. And obviously, they're not going to do what they've done if they don't see it coming, right?
Right.
I mean, they've had a chance to see if he's got everything they need. But still, there could be some ups and downs this year with him.
I've been waiting for this one on the text line. I knew it was coming at some point.
Better be about the Lions.
Ty on the text line says, the Falcons, led by Marcus, my surprise team. Marcus.
It would be so cool.
Arthur Smith, every other former Titan you can name down there in Atlanta this year. The surprise team for Ty.
It would be absolutely fantastic. I would love to think that that's possible. I have a feeling they're going to be somewhere in that scale between dog water and cheeks. But I hope it happens.
Point out you said that I didn't say anything bad.
Look, it's probably about as good an opportunity as Marcus Mariota could hope for right now. Although Jameis Winston has a better one because he's an actual good team around him. Yeah, I'd love to see him do well. I think he'll do fine, but I don't know. That team still has tons of issues. And Dean Pease this year, speaking of former Titans, like if they're as bad defensively as I think they might be, Dean Pease.
He's probably going to retire.
I mean, he is fired up. Did you see him talking about the pass rush?
Oh, yeah.
And how they're going to, it's like, he is, I just don't remember him being like that around here. Every once in a while he'd get mad about something, but it feels like he's just on edge.
Well, I saw a video, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, of Rashawn Evans trying to cover Kyle Pitts in an individual drill, and there's Rashawn Evans about 7 yards behind Kyle Pitts running across the middle of the field. Like, dude, he just ran an out route. How are you that far behind him? Oh, my God.
That is not a great matchup. That is not, yeah. At that point, at least you're so far away, you can just pretend it wasn't, it's not
coverage
your
mix
job.
Up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You got it the wrong call.
Fred on the text line says, the Dolphins are the hottest team on the new Madden right now. Play them more than any other team. The people believe in the Dolphins. Look, those two wide receivers specifically with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, good luck trying to catch them. Like if they get behind you, I mean, they might be the two fastest guys in the league.
Right. No, it's just, Tua's got it. I know Tua can throw downfield. I know he can. Ben says, NFL Network said the other quarterback might start for the Falcons, Desmond Ridder.
I don't think
that's going to happen at the beginning of the season. I understand that he made an incredible play to score on the Lions' fourth string corners in the preseason game, which guarantees he's going to be the hero of Atlanta. It's like what was the other? Oh, Pickett. Pickett for the Steelers. Like, yes! It's like, let's remember when these things happen and against whom.
Restore the roar, baby. 10 wins. You heard it on this show yesterday. Shout out to Corey Curtis.
I mean, what is that's like?
What a year for Hard Knocks. What a year.
Gotta be hot take of the year. He actually said 10 wins with the Lions.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. We'll get into a very interesting situation brewing in the Kentucky Athletic Department. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.